That is why it all depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Apostle Paul wrote the letter of Romans to a mixed group of Gentiles and Gentile house churches, but scholars also agree that there would be Jewish people mixed in hearing the message. In our reading, our small pericope, the focus on salvation, our assurance of being God and got in heaven with God, this promise is hanging in the balance. The question is this: on which does our salvation depend? Either it depends on works, that is, we do something to earn our salvation, or it depends on faith, that is, the idea which someone truly, fully believes. While none of us, I hope, would blatantly say or pray that we have done something to earn salvation, all or in part, we still carry around this idea of our great abilities as individuals. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps, we have heard. This idea of doing things ourselves is inspiring and motivating. I have quite a few real-life friends whom I also follow on Facebook that came from poverty. They didn't have much growing up. Their posts tell the story that they have now made it. They went to school, got a job, and now they're raising a family. I mean, we all know the person who has put in longer, harder hours so that they and their family can live a more comfortable life. And even for those of you in school, I'm sure you can think of someone who puts in more time studying for tests and also doing homework, and their high grades are not surprising. So whether at a job or school, the end goal is clear: to be successful and to earn what you have. To the one who works long and hard, their wages, their pay is earned. They don't need handouts or gifts. They have done it all by themselves. This is the message Paul is sending in Romans chapter 4, verse 4. Work equals pay. And it is not surprising that harder, smarter work usually yields better results. We get this message. It's easy to understand. But did these people, my friends on Facebook, or anyone really, truly do it all by themselves? I ask this question because this do-it-yourself narrative often overlooks, it ignores, how many others are really involved in a person's success. The problem is that a single person can never be successful on their own. Nobody can do everything by themselves. Don't believe me? I invite you to think of any single person who planted, watered, sowed, weeded, harvested, and stored their food while also building shelter, creating tools, gathering water, making their own clothing, heating their house one way or another. How about having a job, paying the bills? How about having and raising children? What about running the church? The list goes on. And I can tell you that I'm only good at a few of these things, have failed at some, and have not even tried most. The efforts of the individual are bound to fail without help from others. The efforts of the individual are bound to fail without the help of others. And have you ever noticed that after a while, even the hardest working people do not remain eager to be a top performer as they always once had? Overworked, overwhelmed, issues at home and with family or whatever else they're going through, even the best, most impressive workers can become undependable and unreliable. So this mentality of, it's all about me, I can do it all by myself, becomes a downward spiral, resulting in a crash. So where do we go? What example do we have? Well, the Apostle Paul looked to Abraham, the father of many nations. Abraham was righteous in the eyes of the Lord, but it did not depend on Abraham's perfection holiness or ability to keep the law, because Abraham wasn't perfect, just like the rest of us. For example, remember when Abraham and Sarah laughed at God when he said they would have a baby boy named Isaac? So it was not Abraham's perfect ability to trust in God. So what saved him? Just how was he righteous in God's eyes? The only way to personally earn salvation or to be righteous in the eyes of our perfect holy God is to be perfect and holy. This means keeping God's law perfectly. Well, if we focus on that age-old problem of sin again, we remember that just like with our earthly work, our earthly jobs, we are included with everyone else who becomes undependable, unreliable, and unable to keep God's laws at one point or another. This means none of us can boast, but instead we should humbly spend more time in repentance. Back to our example, Abraham, he received salvation and righteousness because of his faith, belief in God. God's promise to Abraham and Sarah was not because they were the best do-it-yourselfers, and it wasn't because they could pull themselves up by their sandals, but it was because they placed their ultimate hope, love, and trust in God. But for someone to have faith, it sure sounds like a lot of work. Listen to Jesus' words in our gospel message in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This time it's a verb, to believe. And again, this sounds a lot like doing something. Finally, to find clarity, I searched a theological encyclopedia and found faith defined as the human response to divine activity. For the last time, response sounds a lot like doing work. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, while our vocabulary fails to describe what is exactly happening here, I will put it in very simple terms. Faith and belief are the exact opposite of work. Faith and belief are the exact opposite of work. Faith and belief are not a feeling, not something we learn in school, and it's not something we do. Instead, it's this idea of stop resisting. Quit relying on our own work, our own ability, and allow God to do the work. Because God's work and God's faithfulness are dependable. God is truly reliable. And if this sounds easy, that's because it is. Now, salvation requires perfection, holiness, and keeping the law, as I said before. This truth has never changed. So while our common problem together is that we cannot do it, our solution is that Jesus Christ has done it for us. Jesus Christ is the one who is perfect, holy, and able to fulfill God's law in our place. Going back to John 3:17, we hear the good news that God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This means that on Jesus' behalf, we are blessed. We are blessed because all of our lawless deeds are forgiven, and all of our sins are covered with Jesus' blood. So again, I ask, does our salvation depend on work or faith? The answer is yes, both. By the work of Jesus on the cross, our salvation has been earned, and that salvation is freely given to us for all who believe, for all who have faith. Surely we cannot boast, however, since we contributed nothing. We didn't earn our salvation, and in this regard, we're quite useless. And as we are in the season of Lent, we focus on just how short we fall from the goal of perfection and holiness. But thanks be to God for Jesus Christ, who was delivered up for our behalf. And thanks be to Jesus who gives us life, who says that we are not useless, not on my watch. We were once lost in our own works and dead in our own ways, but now we are alive, all because of faith. So when we quit resisting, when we quit trying to do it ourselves and allow Jesus to do the work for us, we joyfully hear that we are included in Romans chapter 4, verse 3. The people of KELC believed in God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, of course. And their faith, your faith, has been counted as righteousness. And I'll end with a prayer that I learned as a young boy in grade school, Christian grade school. And it's one that gets me through this time of year, but also in many times in life. And it's very short and simple. And it goes like this. Lord, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.